Hey, everybody. It's a wild card crossover. Locked on Vikings, locked on Giants. Let's get into it.
You like it on 3-1-2-3?
You like it?
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, 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 everybody. It's Wild Card Weekend, Crossover Thursday. Get into it in just a second, but first, hello. I'm Luke Braun. I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off into math class. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. Show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. You can find this show available on all platforms, anywhere you find podcasts, including Amazon Fire or Roku. Just download the Locked On Minnesota Sports app. And I want to extend a thank you to the sponsor of today's episode. It's Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you get up to 10 times your money on entry. First time users get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. It's Crossover Thursday. That means it's time to talk to Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants. Just had her on the show for the last Giants game. Always love these conversations, so let's get to it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Crossover Thursday, playoff edition of Crossover Thursday.
We made it.
We made it. That's right. I am Patricia Train. I am host of Locked On Giants, joined by Luke Braun. He is the host of Locked On Vikings, and that can only mean one thing. The New York Giants are going to face the Minnesota Vikings this weekend, super wild card weekend. And Luke, playoffs are here. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. I didn't think the Giants would make it this far, but yet here we are, and we've got a lot to talk about: matchups, key storylines, predictions, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, I think where the Giants are, sixth seed, was about the ceiling for where people thought the Vikings could get this year. And it turns out we're both in it. Vikings won the North. Giants have been clinched for a couple of weeks now. So both teams kind of coasting the last couple of weeks, getting rested, getting in the right mindset and everything, and now the real intensity begins.
Yes, indeed. And it's going to be an interesting one because, like you said, these two teams played each other not too long ago, so they're still kind of familiar with each other. Some different stuff that might, you know, pop up, and we'll talk about that. But Luke, mm-hmm. Let's kick things off by talking about the key storylines for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Right now, what we're looking at is the O-line situation. Last time we played you, which was just Christmas Eve, Brian O'Neill was there. He gets hurt in the next game against Lambeau, or against the Packers at Lambeau. So he has a partially torn Achilles out for the season. So we're working with Oli Udoh right now. Maybe Blake Brandel, who is the primary backup, who's in an IR situation, maybe coming off it. So he's in the like practice window. Otherwise, it's Oli Udoh, both of whom I think are a little bit Kayvon Thibodeau food. the way they match up in particular against a guy with speed and length, which is what Thibodeau has, that is where I'm like most concerned. And then the other thing we're watching is at center. The Giants really tried to attack Austin Schlotman in that Christmas Eve game. They were really targeting him the way they set up their fronts. Well, he's hurt now too, and it's another guy. It's Chris Reed, who hasn't played any center before this year in any live action, just preseason. So he's getting used to it. He's had some snap count snafus and stuff. We're hopefully past that issue. So we're looking at the O-line, but otherwise it's a lot of people getting healthy. Za'Darius Smith's knee is healthier than it's been since like October. Hopefully we get Cameron Dantzler back, who's dealing with an ankle injury, but I don't think he starts anyways. I think he lost his starting job this year. He's also dealing with a personal matter, so no idea what that's about. But otherwise you're getting a lot of other guys back that have bumps and bruises here and there that either didn't play in Chicago or only played a half in Chicago. Now they're going really, really strong with it. So that's what we're watching.
And speaking of injuries and getting guys back and whatnot, the Giants, all hands on deck this week.
Probably Adoree Jackson.
Adoree Jackson is starting, you know, he's practicing. Don't know if he's going to play, but that's going to be a key move to watch. Now, I did speak with Adoree during Wednesday's open locker room. I can't say I honestly walked away with the feeling that he was definitely going to play, because it was kind of this wait and see thing. Now, I don't know if he's just saying that to keep the Vikings guessing or whatnot. you know, Odori has always been kind of straight with me, but I, you know, it's basically, you know, they're ramping him up to see how much he can handle. And of course, the real story is going to be how he responds Thursday, you know, after what he did on Wednesday. Wednesday, he was listed as limited, but, you know, there's limited, and there's limited, if you know what I mean. So,
yeah, there's actually limited, and there's, yes, have a ding and we have to put you on. Yeah,
exactly. So if they can get him back, now that's going to be key, because last time Justin Jefferson destroyed the Giants. He and TJ Hockenson.
Hockenson had a bigger game, yeah.
Yes. Well, the Giants are going to have Xavier McKinney back for this game. Mm. They did not have him in the last one. So McKinney and Landon Collins should both be able, I think, are both going to handle or be assigned to handle, I should say, Hockenson. Jefferson is the problem. And if the Giants, yes, don't have an Adoree Jackson who can manipulate and move and cut and keep up with Jefferson, I don't know if we want to see Fabian Moreau and Darnay Holmes on him again, because he destroyed them both last time. Just a handful to cover.
Right. Yeah. Those guys really went off in that game. That was a career day for Hockenson particularly. My question, I guess, is with Wink Martindale, the vibe I got from the last game was that, okay, we don't have the corners, we're just going to blitz the heck out of you. And that's kind of how Wink Martindale lives anyways. So are they going to come in as aggressively and maybe take guys out of coverage, leave guys one-on-one more often, or will they maybe back off of that to give guys like Fabian Moreau or whoever else a little bit of help if Jefferson lines up in the slot or in a tighter bunch where you can't necessarily guarantee that it'll be Adoree Jackson, or will they shadow? And like, what will be the plan?
I think what they're going to probably do, regardless if Jackson plays, is they're going to try and take as much stress off of that defensive secondary as they can. You know, Kirk Cousins is not very good when he's pressured. I forget what the percentage
blitz counters
is.
Have been a problem all year. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of what they tried to do last time. Sometimes with success, sometimes without success. But look, if you're getting back Adoree Jackson, he's not going to be at 100%. You know, I won't consider him near 100% until I see him start practicing fully instead of limited. So I think that would be the plan, is to kind of take some of the stress off that defensive secondary. Maybe, you know, go after Hockenson, like I said. Now, this might be a case of pick your poison. You know, maybe they say, okay, you know what? Jefferson's going to, you know, we can't stop him. So maybe we let him have his yards, but we try and stop Hockenson instead. Maybe they take that approach, but I think the Giants are going to come after him. You know, they should have a healthy Thibodeau. They're going to have a semi-healthy Ojulari. He was limited in practice, but he should be good to go. Leonard Williams will be back. Dexter Lawrence, who got a rest last week, he'll be in the lineup. They're going to come after Kirk Cousins and try and force him into making mistakes, because it has been proven that if you do that, you can have some success against that Vikings team.
That's been Cousins his whole career. If you can force them. Kevin O'Connell has harped so much on the turnover battle. He's said to his team, we want to be +2 in turnovers every week. So we'll see just how safe they want to be, or if they really try to force the issue, and maybe you can get them under pressure and get them into doing something bozo-ish. But I will say that bozo thing has not been as common with Cousins this year. He's had his moments, to be sure, but fewer of them in my kind of off-the-dome estimation. So we'll see how that goes, but the blitz counters have definitely forced ill-advised checkdowns or even just taking sacks and stuff. So it's certainly had its effect on the defense. But I do want to ask
this. This has kind of been like a secondary story. This has been kind of a secondary story for the Giants as well. The Vikings were last in the playoffs, I believe, in 2019. The Giants in 2016. So the big, you know, one of the big stories with the Giants has been, gosh, you know, how are you keeping yourselves from being too amped up for this? Because now we're into, you know, win or go home territory. So the Giants, you know, Brian Daboll has been telling the Giant players, guys, just stick to the process. What we did in week one is what we're going to do now. Stick to the process, prepare, so on and so forth. And the players just seem very eerily calm for the Giants. How are the Vikings treating this? You know, because like I said, they haven't been to the playoffs since 2019.
You know, if anything, I think the Vikings have suffered this season from a lack of intensity. I think the intensity is there based on hearing O'Connell talk about it. I have not gone and listened to a whole lot of the player conversations, and so I don't have a great read on that yet. But I do think that there's they have been looking at this for like 9 weeks. I mean, it was clear very early that the Vikings were going to win the North and be in the playoffs. So they've been looking at this for a while. And I think that the last 4 or 5 weeks, go way back even, have been sort of in an effort to be prepared for this game. And, you know, Cousins hasn't been in the playoffs since 2019, but this is going to be his third time in the playoffs. Adam Thielen's been in the playoffs plenty. Some of these veteran guys have been around. You know, O'Neal was with the team in that 2019 run. So it's not like it's everybody's first time or anything like that. Interestingly, Dalvin Tomlinson, his first time in the playoffs, because he didn't make it any of the years with you guys, didn't make it last year with us, but a whole bunch of play in SEC playoff play and you know, a whole bunch of college play. So he's been in that area. Justin Jefferson, never been in the playoffs, but he lives for, you know, the LSU national championship game kind of vibe. He lives for it. So I think that these guys definitely know how they want to be for that stuff. We'll see, though. You know, definitely have seen teams come out too amped up and totally fall flat in the playoffs. But I think they might be going the opposite way, which is very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, Dable is just, you know, started his presser just another Wednesday, you know, like, you know,
sure.
Playoffs, what yeah, playoffs?
Definitely, you know? Not the vibe, so very from interesting. The Vikings.
Very yeah. interesting approach. And like I said, an eerie calm before the storm. It's almost like you get the impression like, okay, the Giants are playing it calm and they're going to just totally open up a can of whoop butt on the Vikings.
Right.
But all right, Luke, we are going to talk about matchups right after we take this quick break.
Back with Patricia in just a moment. First, thanks so much to BetOnline for sponsoring this episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast. BetOnline is your one-stop shop for all things Grambling. It is a place for you to bet on games like Vikings-Giants. We'll talk a little later about the spreads and all that. But I will say right now, a lot of money's on the Giants, and that means there is a little bit of a cheaper price to get the Vikings if you think -3 is not enough. Or you can just go bet on basketball games or hockey games or whatever you want, because at BetOnline, they've got everything under the sun. You can even bet right in the middle of a game or event, even if you missed kickoff. So head on over to betonline.net where the game starts. I also want to talk to you about my new favorite phone game. I am going to get all kinds of stuff done over the weekend on this baby. It is Ultimate Football GM. It is for people who love franchise management kind of stuff. You know, if you're really into the draft and the coaching carousel and cap space and all of that sort of GM level stuff, this is the football simulator for you. You get to draft for your team, hire coaches, make trades, negotiate with contracts, and try to build a dynasty. So go to ultimate-gm.com, or you can just look it up on the App Store. And if you use promo code Locked On in all caps, that's Locked On in all caps, you get a 100% free boost to your franchise when you use that promo code. Once again, that is Locked On in all caps at ultimate-gm.com or on app stores. That is ultimate-gm.com. Start your dynasty today.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Crossover Thursday, playoff edition. Playoffs.
Don't talk about playoffs.
The Giants, I'm still pinching myself that the Giants are in the playoffs.
I know, right?
You know? But you got Patricia Traynor, host of Locked On Giants, Luke Braun, host of Locked On Vikings. We just talked a couple weeks ago. We're here. We're talking again. Always glad to see Luke on the program. And Luke, let's talk about matchups in this game. And if you don't mind, I'm going to go first because I think this is probably the same matchup you're probably going to think of. And that is the Giants defensive line against that Vikings O-line. You mentioned it in the first segment that Vikings O-line has some injury issues. They're, you know, who's going to play, who's in, who's out, is Bradberry going to play? You know, and that Giant defensive line, They have been playing really, really well. That pass rush, Ojulari has had at least a half a sack in each game that he's played in since he's been back. Thibodeau is starting to really disrupt things. You know, Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence, the dynamic duo, have been pushing that pocket. That's where I think the game is going to be won or lost, is in that pit. And I think that Giants D-line against that Vikings O-line, which right now is still kind of a question mark, is going to be huge.
Yeah, I've been like afraid of that front four for about half the season since like the Giants really came on my radar for Locked On NFL. That front four has seemed to me like just, wow, this is the kind of team that can kind of go toe-to-toe with anybody when you can rush four, but that's not how Wink Martindale operates. He doesn't have to blitz all the time, but he will anyways, and that just makes the threat even harder. So I am curious as to what the Giants do here, because if they wanted to really leverage Kayvon Thibodeau and line him up against the right tackle out wide, because I don't think they want to put him against Christian Darrisaw. Darrisaw is top three tackle in this league, if you ask me. He is absolutely destroying people. And there have been, you know, Micah Parsons got the best of him once. Like, guys have gotten him, but I don't think that Thibodeau and Ojulari are made to be that kind of rusher. I think they're made to be the kind of guy that goes up against the backup and takes over the game. So if the Giants want to do that and they want to split him way out wide, and if they want to, and what they did last time was they took Dexter Lawrence and they split him a little further inside to really attack that backup center. But what that did was create a huge hole between the two, that extra wide B gap bubble. I just wrote a big article about it at zonecoverage.com if you guys want to hear about it. And the Vikings actually ran pretty well against that in the first game. They didn't run a lot volume wise for other reasons, but when they did, they had a lot of success running at that bubble. The blocking was there. So I wonder if the Giants play into that again, and if we maybe get a big Dalvin Cook game, just because of the spacing makes it so that the matchups become less relevant. As a Vikings fan, that's kind of what I'm hoping. Or do the Giants take their medicine and say, okay, maybe we don't attack these matchups quite as aggressively. We play it a little more straight up. You don't have the B-gap bubble, and we hope that Thibodeau can still win. You still got, you know, Ed Ingram's a rookie at right guard. You still have Ezra Cleveland has been good, but not consistent. You know, there are still ways to attack this offensive line that don't require you to go all in on trying to attack the backup the way the Giants did in that first game. But I want to flip it around because we haven't talked about this side of the ball at all yet. The Giants receivers had career days against the Vikings in that first matchup. And the Vikings in the game right before your game, the Colts game, switched from a soft zone defense to man-to-man. They just played man defense for the last 4 weeks now. Doing that has been a really interesting change, and it sort of renders a lot of the statistics and season-long things a little bit moot because they're just such a different team than they were the first 14 weeks of the season. Sample's going to be made up of something very different. But in that game, Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins, they really went off. I don't think the Vikings are going to take a different approach. I think that they're going to man up again and see if they can't get them this time. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I was talking actually with Sterling Shepard, who's on IR today, or he's on IR for the season, but I was talking with him today about the emergence of Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins. And, you know, he was very complimentary. He's been coaching those guys up. I mean, Shep was, sure, was one of the best at finding soft spots in zone coverage.
And what you become when you're on IR, you're a position coach now.
Yes, exactly. Oh, he's having a, you know, he'd rather be playing, obviously, but he's having a ball being involved with the team and coaching these guys up. But yeah, Richie James, the thing with him, the confidence level has come back. You know, there was a time, you know, after he lost those two punts against Seattle, a lot of us wondered, would he even make it through the rest of the season or would he be cut? And he just put his head down. He kept working at it. And the confidence level is there. And, you know, Richie James is not a big receiver, but boy, does he play like one. And the same thing with Hodgins. Hodgins is a guy that the Giants basically picked off the scrap heap. You know, Buffalo cut him because they had such deep rotation there at receiver. And he comes right in, and it's like he's been playing in this offense all his life, which he, you know, he has if, in a way, you know, he played with it up in Buffalo when Brian Daboll was the offensive coordinator. But the way he has clicked with Daniel Jones, and it's interesting because one thing that Richie James and Daniel Jones do, as well as Darius Slayton, is they get with Daniel and they say, okay, after every play in practice, they get with him. What did you see here? Why did you do this? And it's almost like they're a one mind. And that sometimes when you're, you know, they say huge. That the mental aspect can is like 90% of the game. And that's where the Giants receivers have really, really sharpened up their game. And it just, you know, are they going to be number one receivers? No. Are they, you know, going to be Pro Bowlers or all pro? No, but they're effective. They're getting the job done and they're figuring out ways to, you know, to shield the ball and to, you know, get away from defenders, give themselves just enough of a window for Daniel to hit them.
It's so interesting. I mean, we have Patrick Peterson, who is, I think, tied his career high in interceptions, or he's tied for the team lead in interceptions with 5. And Harrison Smith also has 5 this year. And then across from him, we have Duke Shelley, who's 5'9", and he runs a 4.5, but he's playing lights out. It's incredible what Shelley has done this year. He was cut this year from the Bears, and he's come in and actually like stolen a starting job that there was no reason for the Vikings to even consider him, and he just went and took it. It's a super awesome story, but it might be the place where the Vikings defense experienced like the most pain. But I guess before we get into predictions, I have one question for you that I should have asked last time, but who on the Giants should I know about that I don't know about?
Ooh, that's an easy one. That's an easy one for me. Jihad Ward.
Okay.
He's the one guy, you know, people say to me, who was the most underrated free agent signing that the Giants made? And I say Jihad Ward. Without question, because Jihad Ward is like that third pass rusher. You're not going to hear his name very often. He can play with his hand in the dirt. He can play standing up. And you know what? The guy gets pressure. He, you know, so I always point back to the 2007 championship Giants team, the 2011 championship Giants team. And what did they have in common? They had
Justin Tuck, random rusher. Yeah.
And the Giants, you know, I'm not saying that the 2022 Giants team is going to be a Super Bowl bound. We don't know that. Probably not. But they have three deep. And you know, Jihad Ward's a guy who doesn't get a lot of credit. And I think he should get more credit. And, you know, when he's out there, he could be a pest. So.
Yeah. And having that depth can help spell the other guys, especially if you're going to get them running around on rollouts and stuff, which the Vikings might. But we have to actually get in and predict this game now. The time is nigh.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to, we'll do our predictions, right after this. So stick around, folks.
Real quick, before we get to those predictions, let me talk to you about Built Bar. It is that time of year. I know we're all trying to be good, maybe cut a calorie or two, but look, that sweet tooth ain't gonna solve itself, and that is what Built Bar is for. So if you want something delicious, a sweet treat covered in 100% chocolate, but you want to skip the fat and the calories, that is Built Bar. And they come in great flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. You are not skimping on taste here. But one of these things will only have like 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and then like 17 grams of protein, because they are, at their core, protein bars made out of collagen protein and some kind of crazy science to make them taste like candy bars. So you can go find them at built.com like usual, or if you don't want to wait for shipping, you can actually go to Walmart or Sam's Club and you can find them there. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs at Walmart, or a 13-bar box at Sam's Club, or if you prefer, you can still just go to built.com and order them to get delivered straight to your door. All of that is once again at Walmart, Sam's Club, or built.com.
All right, everybody, you've got Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants, Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings. It is the crossover edition of the Locked On podcast, and it is Super Wild Card weekend coming up. Giants at Minnesota Vikings, and Luke, it is time to make predictions. What do you got?
We're doing this? Well, looking at Bet Online right now, Vikings favored by 3, over under is 48. So what's the implied score there? 48 points, Vikings winning by 3 would be like 26, 23, something like 25, 22, something like that. So, you know what? Every time I have questioned the spread, we've come out as underdogs and be like, why are they underdog? I get burned. So I'm going straight up with Vegas here. Let's call it 27-24 Vikings. Let's do the exact same score from Christmas Eve. And I'll just let Vegas take the wheel. How about you?
Well, the Vikings are 11-0, I believe, in one score games.
Yes, eventually, including that one.
Eventually, that luck's got to run out. And quite honestly, the only reason they won, I think, the Giants, number one, had a lot of mistakes in that first meeting. Let's call it for what it is. And for then, sure. Come on, a 61-yard walk-off field goal? Who saw that coming? I mean, the Giants battled back. I think
we have had like 4 60 plus yarders scored on us this year. Like that was owed to the Cosmos.
Yeah. I mean, and the Giants have been a victim of these walk-off field goals. Several times in recent years, but look, I mean, the Giants, I think, are pretty confident. They're not coming out. They're obviously not going to give any bulletin board material, but I believe that they think that they should have won that game, and they should have. You know, you clean up the mistakes. They played well enough to win that game. I think the confidence level is there. It's a quiet confidence. I think it's going to be a tight one. I think the Giants, you know, they scored 24 points last time. I'm going to say they're the ones that score 27. I don't think they go to 30, but I think they're going to score 27. I'm going to go 27-23 because I think the Giants over the, you know, since that game, they've been playing solid football. They stood toe to toe with the Eagles, who are the number one seed. And that was with their backups, no less.
Yeah.
They destroyed the Colts, who, you know, some teams have had problems with, believe it or not. So
have a problem with the Colts?
Yeah, you said it. I didn't want to say it.
That game, I don't know if you watched that game, but that game was insanely unlucky.
It was drunk.
They got the punt block, and then they had a dumb pick six and stuff. I wouldn't say unlucky. Unsustainable would be the word because they made a bunch of mistakes. But I think only against the Colts could only the Vikings could pull off a 33-point comeback, and only the Colts could blow a 33-point lead. Like it truly took it. It had to be both these teams specifically. And this is who the Vikings have been. They have this like attack, 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 attack mentality. And this is a Kevin O'Connell thing that they will always be on the attack. They want to run up the score. If they're ahead, if they're behind, they're never going to quit. They're never going to give up. They're never going to turtle. If it's close, they're going to try to run away. Like they will always do it, which means you get things like you're up 21-3 against the Bears in week 5. You let them come all the way back. Because of the way that, because those attacks didn't work. And then you get things like in the Cowboys game, you get behind a couple and you start chasing the game. You go for a 4th-and-1, you go for too many shot plays, and you kind of get stuck trying to be really aggressive to get back in the game. And then it just gets worse on you. But it also leads to you're down 33-0 at halftime. And you're like, well, we'll just score 5 touchdowns. It's fine. And like it means no game is over. So I think I said this in the last crossover, but my true actual prediction is if this is a 3-score game, either way, at any point, don't turn it off because it is not over till it's over in any point with the Vikings because of the way that they will aggressively call plays. They'll call shot plays on 3rd-and-2 when they're up 2 scores. Like they're just insane like that. And it will either get them back into the game, let the other team back into the game. So it's not over till it hits 000s. Don't touch that dial.
And I still think, I mean, just a gut feeling here, and believe it or not, I would have said this, you know, a while ago, but I think the Giants pulled this one out. I really do. You know, Minnesota, it's almost like you never know what you're going to get week to week from them. And, you know, no disrespect to the Vikings, but their record, I don't think, is really indicative of what kind of team they've been. And, you know, whereas the Giants record, you could say they are what their record is. So, I think it's going to be a 1-score game, but I think that 11-0 streak that the Vikings have ends.
They lose their first close game in the playoffs.
I think it ends, and I think the Giants get the Eagles, you know, assuming that Seattle loses to the 49ers. Well, we'll
both rooting for Seattle, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's I think is every Giants fan's dream is for the Giants to get a crack at the Eagles and to knock them out of the playoffs. Obviously you got to get through the Vikings first. Good team, going to be on their home turf, which is why I think they're favored. But
The Giants have given some bulletin board material to Vikings fans saying we didn't think it was too loud on Christmas Eve, and we don't think it's too loud to play there. So
they've since said it was. So
I think it's too late. It's going to be hopping. I will be at the stadium too. I'll be contributing whatever's left of my voice.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it all plays out. I mean, it should be a good one. It is playoff football. And I'm just absolutely giddy. I never thought I would say that at this time of the year, you know, because I thought the Giants were at least another year away from being in the playoffs, but they're here. And look, we'll just write it out for however long they happen to last. And I'm sure you'll do the same thing over on Locked On Vikings. So that's going to do it for us here on this crossover edition of Locked On Giants, Locked On Vikings. Make sure you check out our respective shows. Luke has everything you need to know about the Vikings. I'm bringing you everything you need to know about the Giants, including Friday night. We're going to be doing Locked On Live. I know a lot of you enjoy that. So make sure you stop by on the YouTube channel. Check out Locked On Live. For Luke Braun, I'm Patricia Traina. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.